I was thinking of a verse from Psalms, from God's written word, from Psalms 28 of David, in verses 7 and 8 and 9. The Lord is my strength and my shield. His heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever.
Thank you. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. I'm going to read through, and then we'll study through together. I guess you can look up there too. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Verse 26. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, you husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Verse 33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Have any of you ever read over this before? Have you ever read it and thought, submit seems a little strong for wording? Even verse 21 before, it says submitting one to another out of reverence for Christ. And then it says for the husband to love his wife. I don't know if you've ever got to this point of scripture and thought, I don't know if I can do it. Is it possible for me to do it? Can I actually do what God has called me to do as a husband or as a wife? Well, you can. I do want to tell you that you can. And I'm sure that there's many of you that have been doing it and have fulfilled what God has called you to as a husband and as a wife. So, I have 4 points that I would like to point out with this whole section in Ephesians. But I want you to think about what the last, not the last verse, but the just second last verse, verse 32, which I put on the bulletin as well. And as well, I want you to think about the whole thing with protected as we go through this. And I want to highlight too to say that a husband is to be a protector of his wife and is to feel that protection as a wife, as a spouse. A wife should feel the protection of her husband as Christ is our protector. I found it very interesting that as we went through the songs, and very exciting as we were going through the songs too, is that the songs this morning were pointing much out of Lord, that the Lord is the one, that it pointed to him, that he is Lord, and he is the one who cares for us and has delivered us from the realm of sin and death, which clings so closely to us beforehand. So, again, this mystery is profound. This is verse 32, Ephesians 5:32. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. I want to read the verse just before that too. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Can you imagine if Paul would have started off his letter with wives, submit to your husbands? It's not that it couldn't have worked. I'm sure it could have worked. But Paul clearly and strategically laid out what was to be laid out in a way for the Ephesian church so that they could grasp much of Christ and then see their place in Christ and see their identity in Christ. So he gives how we are to be one with Christ and how God has called us to be one with Christ, how God has called us into his kingdom, all through the beginning of Ephesians chapter 1 and on. And he gives places of how the church is his body. And then we come to this portion of Scripture, and we have a really great representation of the husband who is to love his wife and the wife who is to submit to her husband. I know there's lots to say about biblical marriage too, and this is not all of it. There's a lot of things to say, and I'm sure many of you could give lots of advice on having a biblical marriage and how it has worked for you and how you've given that example yourself to the world and to those around you and done it as well in your marriage. I know there's a lot of brokenness in marriage too, a lot of broken marriages. We can clearly see that in our culture. Giving in marriage, divorcing, marrying, divorcing, marrying, divorcing. It's kind of all, it almost seems like a fad. I mean, especially when you look into Hollywood, this person was married to this person, this one was with this one. I mean, that's the world though, right? But the Christians, the Christian itself, the one who has been called by God, has a place in marriage, whether that is the woman or whether that is the man. Some questions just for you to think about as we go through this too. Just to get your thoughts going a bit here. Do you feel protected? Do you understand the idea of what protection is? Do you actually, or do you know how to protect as a husband or a leader? Maybe in order to protect your family, this isn't really as much as a question as a statement, but maybe in protecting your family, you've desired to take karate lessons, jiu-jitsu. Maybe you think that there's some outward physical thing that you need to do in order to protect them physically. There's nothing wrong in doing so. But that's not the protection I'm talking about with this. And as a wife, do you feel protected by your husband? As a husband, do you feel protected by the work of Christ? As a husband, do you protect your wife and your family? All of it, wife and family, not just your wife. Do you feel protected by your parents as a child? Because that's what Paul takes this further with too, is he takes it into children, he takes it into slaves, as you follow through in chapter 5 before you get to Ephesians chapter 6. Do you feel protected by your church? We've come together, gathered together. The church is not the building. We always talk about that. And I know I make a point of it often to say I'm going to the church building. It always and may sound weird at times when I put building on the end, but I've always tried for years when the Lord opened my eyes to see that, to make a point of saying building, church building, when I come here. But the church is the people. They're tangible. They're real. Do you believe you are protected by Christ? So just some thoughts for you to think about as we go through this. So the first point that I want to start with is submit. This is not submit wives to every husband. Let's make that clear. This is wives, submit to your husbands, to your husband. Not to someone else's husband, but submit to your husband. It may be a daunting word, maybe a little bit of a, I don't want to talk about that word, but we need to talk about it. And I think that it would be important for us to realize the verse just before, which I talked a little bit about last week too, with submission, but is verse 21, before 22, is verse 21, which says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Then verse 22, I want to read again, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And I think that it's very important that we see the point of both of those sentences. It says submit, yes. It talks about the submitting of us as believers to the church, but not in a non-biblical way where someone is able to abuse you. And same thing with a wife to her husband. You submit to the Lord. So it's first of all to the Lord out of reverence for Christ and the work that he's done for you as a wife and what he's done for you in saving you and redeeming you from what you were once in or once you had been stuck in separation from God because of sin. So again, I just want to say it again. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then now verse 22 again. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Sometimes we can think that we have a lot of stuff figured out in our own lives and that we know exactly what we should be doing next or how we should be doing that next thing. And that's okay to have a laid out plan, and we should have a laid out plan, but it should ultimately fall in place with the Lord's will for us in our lives. And as we go about in our lives, that starts to come out what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to be doing what is right and is pleasing to God. So verse 23, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. So now this one points out that the place of the husband is here and how he is to hold his position as a husband in submission to Christ. So the submission part doesn't go away with the husband. It's not that the husband is supposed to be under the wife. We know that Christ is above the church. We know that Christ as the head cannot be the body is not over the head. Otherwise we'd be kind of weird people when we walked around in general if our body was up and our head was down. We know that Christ is the head over the church and the body is us. So there is a place for it, ultimately a perfect place for it. So a husband is not his wife's savior in salvation as well. Through salvation, the husband is not the savior of the wife. The husband is to protect and care for his wife in a manner that brings glory to God. So this is why husbands need to be very careful in words and in their actions towards their spouse. He is never to treat his wife like a slave, which Paul talks about. I said earlier, he talks about slaves earlier, which is awesome that Paul did so. Because that is not how a husband is to treat his wife, as though a slave, that he controls her and demands that she gives what he wants. The word wants is very important too, because we are to have needs that are to be cared for as wife and as husband. Needs, not wants. Because a lot of time wants can start to feed what is selfish. So a wife does not submit to her husband, becoming a slave to her husband, but she submits to her husband because of the reverence of Christ, because of the work of Christ in her life. I just want to get a picture in your mind. I love that the song, too, this morning, too, is pointing back to creation itself, because that is where we will go to, is Genesis chapter 2. I'm sure you've read this before. Has anyone read Genesis chapter 2? Yeah, should I get hands put up to see who all did? No, just... If you haven't read it for a while, that's okay. We'll read it together now. Genesis, not all of it. We're not doing the whole thing. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It says, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. And then in Genesis 2, 21, it says, so the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. Opened it, closed it. God knows that a man alone is not good. It is not good for a man to be alone, is what the point is getting across here and what we see in the scriptures. God opened the man's flesh on his side and took from his body because he saw that it was not good that the man be alone, and then he closed his flesh back up. I love this analogy in Matthew Henry. She was not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart. I guess I should go this way. My heart's closer over here. And near his heart to be protected and to be beloved. I love the analogy that Matthew Henry said with that, because it does really paint a picture with the rib opening up. When you think about the actual act of it opening up him, putting him to a deep sleep, opening him up, taking from him bone, opening the flesh, taking bone, bone for flesh, and creating the woman. It is a beautiful picture, a very beautiful picture. Then Martin Luther called marriage a school of character. When two Christians get married, they are partaking in something holy. And I think we can sometimes forget that. They have the opportunity to grow spiritually in their walk with the Lord through serving one another and bringing glory and honor to the name of God in their service. They have an obligation for one another to grow in their maturity in Christ through faith and hope. And I know I've talked about this before, but Wiersbe, the commentary from Wiersbe, he always said, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. So, if you think about that in the sense of your marriage characterizing you, your marriage can either characterize you for good or for evil. So if we sow a thought, what are our thoughts about our spouse, whether that be the husband or the wife, whatever it may be, but in submission to the husband, as we're talking about submitting, what are your thoughts about your husband? How do you think about your husband in your own thought life? And do your actions prove that thought that you have? And then that habit that you make, does it reap a character that glorifies Christ? Because that's what we're supposed to be doing all the time as husband and wife, is to lead, husbands lead, wives submit in a way that glorifying Christ is of utter importance. And as I said before, we know that the divorce is huge in our culture. But from the beginning, as we read, from the beginning, his intent was not for divorce. His intent was Genesis 2:24, which says, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. Hold fast, and they shall become one flesh. He painted a perfect picture of that when he opened Adam's side and when he took from her a bone and created the woman. Creation is beautiful when God, he's the only one that can truly create. So when he's in control, creation is a perfect thing. So we are able to see a picture of what it is for a husband to lead by holding fast to his wife, because he has left his father and his mother and have become one with one another in flesh. The husband has taken up the role of the caregiver and protector for his wife. He must look out for the best interests of his wife. The wife is perfect, and then the wife becomes a perfect match for the husband. She is able to work alongside her husband, being protected by him, because she is a helper fit for him. Be very careful what sins, another thought for us here is, be very careful what sins, when you first get married, what sins you bring into your marriage. Are you bringing things into your marriage? Or were you open with one another beforehand? If your focus and goal is not in characterizing that of Christ, you will be against submitting as a wife and will not bring glory to God. I know that there's situations that happen that are not good. That's there. But on a biblical basis is what I'm going off of. I have said this before and I say it again. Be naked with one another. Husband and wife. This isn't in the bedroom. Naked is what I'm talking about, the part that comes afterwards. But I'm talking about being naked before one another in sin. Let each other know what's going on in your hearts. Confess to one another, not so that they can somehow deliver you from each other, from your sins, but so that you're open with one another, so that, and especially with the wife, with the husband needs to be a place so that the wife can speak what is going on within her heart and the things that she's battling with, so that you can protect her by bringing her to the Word of God and basking her and covering her with what is good and right, so that she can characterize Christ. And the same thing that happens within that is that the husband then can characterize Christ in his physical actions towards his wife, as he is a place for her to bring her needs and her wants. Yes, they can come up within that, but her needs, so that a husband can help, and so that and then in return the wife is submitting to her husband out of reverence for Christ. So verse 24, we'll flip back. This isn't Genesis, but back to verse 24. I got to get back here. There we go. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit in everything to their husbands. Not just some things, but everything. Sometimes we can get stuck on this verse and go, how is this possible? This can't be possible. You can't submit in everything, can you really? It would be foolish to think that the church, who is the body of Christ, is over Christ, which I talked about earlier. And the church is not over Christ, because they're the body of Christ. As a wife submits to Christ in body, mind, and heart, she resembles the importance of her husband's role as her head, and instead of usurping his authority in the home, she complements it through submission. The same is for us as the church. Through submission and through submitting to Christ, we complement Christ. The church complements the work of Christ in hearts, or in our hearts, I should say. Let me repeat that. The church complements the work of Christ on hearts that are submitted to submitting to Christ. You've probably heard this before, complementarianism. There we go. I said it fully, which that is called complementarianism. Said it again. So complementarianism, his responsibility is in roles that bring glory to God and represent the character of Christ and the attribute and attribute everything to God. So the roles of woman and man is complementarianism. And that is brought out in submission as a wife and as a husband, as a leader. So sacrificially sanctify your wife. Next point. Verses 25 on here and for a bit. Again, as I said earlier, sometimes submission part of Scripture is given a lot of focus, and the portion for the husband is not focused on as much. I talked to Neve about this last night, my daughter, and that is true. Sometimes there's sermons that focus a lot on submission, and a lot of times there is a pushing towards a wife submitting, submit to your husband, but the part of the husband is kind of left out, which is to love your spouse. Well, a husband can really not love his spouse until he knows the love of Christ in a biblical term. And Genesis 2, as we talked about, portrays a picture of Christ and the church. And when the husband loves his wife, he loves himself. This means the husband understands the gospel and represents his understanding of the gospel through his affirmation and love toward his wife. A husband cannot love his wife the way Christ loved the church if he does not submit to Christ. Otherwise, he'll want her to please his wants instead of needs that the wife has already taken care of. This, I believe, is why Paul used submitting to one another in verses 21 before coming to 22, because he first wanted to relate to us that the church must submit to Christ. All of us must submit. There is a submitting part on everyone as a Christian. So we must submit to Christ. And then in turn, when the wife comes and sees submit, they can see the role of it. They can see the purpose of it, because they already see it happening within Christians too. And as well, their spouse is doing it because he's representing a submitting heart, because he's submitting himself not to her, but to Christ. So then she's able to see how she can submit. I know I'm saying a lot of words going back and forth here, but she can see how she is able to submit because she sees her husband representing submission to Christ. So he's leading her by representing what it is to be in Christ. And I'm not saying that you'll figure this out all perfectly in your first years of marriage. That's not what I'm saying. It takes time, and you're going to get ups and downs. It's a fact. It's just a fact of life. We know that something to think about, though, is sacrificially we have Jacob, who gives 14 years to get Rachel. He sacrificially gave of himself to get a wife for many years. It wasn't just a couple years, 14 years. So as husbands, we need to sacrificially give ourselves to our wives, not for one day in order to please our wants, but an entire life, because we've signed on by saying this is something that's going to last forever, not just a couple days. So that's kind of pointing out. I didn't read this with you, but I want to read 25 here in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Verse 26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Verse 26, though, sanctify your wife. A husband loves his wife by sanctifying her, by washing her with the word, first of all, and by caring for her physically with words of affirmation as well. As they are sanctified, the needs of both are met, and the desire to look to others to fill their needs is met with one flesh. I say that in context of Genesis 2, with the one flesh, how the one flesh was brought about from one being, created being, and then the woman come from that. The bone is bone of bone. It's the bone of a man that creates a woman, not the bone of a woman that creates the man. God opened his side, took his bone, closed it up, and it was perfect, and it was a perfect fit for Adam after he created the woman. When you become one with your wife, you are being reminded of the one flesh idea. Christ, who was the second Adam, Adam gave of his bone, specifically of his rib. Jesus gave his entire life for his bride, who is the church. A husband and a wife become one flesh, and this bond is strong, and it is stronger than a father and a mother and a child relationship, because the husband and wife union represents the sanctification process of two becoming one flesh. Just like Christ and the church, they are one, and this oneness lasts for eternity, and its bond cannot be broken by any man. So, do you give your wife adorning words? This is my next point. Do you give your wife adorning words? Do you give her words of praise and uplifting? Maybe there's some of you scrunching in your seat when you hear that. I don't know. Maybe you're rejoicing and saying, yes, I do it. Do you speak words of affirmation to your wife and about your wife to others? Sometimes we can think, yeah, well, I don't say bad things about my wife, but in my thought life, I have lots of thoughts about my wife, and they're all negative. Hopefully they're not. But do you think just thoughts of your wife? Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. Even if another person responds in a negative way, it doesn't mean that it gives us the right to have bad thoughts. That's not the way it works in the church as well. Do you love your wife the way Christ loved the church? So you should adorn your wife with words of wisdom and insight and uplift. I have some questions that I've kind of used in first person here. How do I treat my wife? Do I discredit her with others, or do I credit her with others? Do I speak much of her glory that is found through and in Christ? Do I lead her to the Father or discredit her, making her believe and think she cannot obtain a vertical relationship with our Heavenly Father? Do I hold her close, protecting her, or do I hold her at a distance, waiting for her to submit and complete my demands, and when she doesn't, I scold her? Do I lead her in a way that makes her feel comforted and cared for, so that she is able to be vulnerable and open? Love your wife in such a way that she is open with her needs. I say needs, as I've said before, because a lot of times wants speak to the selfishness of our hearts. So I put that in first person because I wanted you just to think about it in reality of first person need as a man. Do you think about that? Do you compliment your wife in such a way that it doesn't scold her but uplifts her and brings her to Christ, to characterize Christ and to glorify Christ, and presents her in glory? Because that's what we're supposed to do with our wives, to present them in glory before the Father because of the things we say to them. Verses 33 and 38, I'll read that. We'll jump ahead here a bit. However, I'm going to read verse 33. However, let each one of you love his wife, love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Verse 28, in the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies, he who loves his wife loves himself. Maybe as a man you do not know how to love your own body. This is why you don't love your wife's body. This is why you don't love your wife as a person. Maybe you haven't come to grasp your identity yourself in Christ, so you're unable to lead your wife to still waters. Your own words matter. Are they condemning or are they uplifting? You both have an inward spirit man that needs to be fed. So we both have a place as wife and as husband to care for one another. This is where I want to bring this up. I understand that there are husbands and wives who are not upholding biblical truths and are abusive to their spouses. I by no means am agreeing that a wife should submit to any abusive man, or vice versa, for a husband to be in a place where the wife can abuse him. The Bible is not saying that in any form and in any way that a husband and wife are to do this in a way that they be abused. That's not what Scripture says. Husbands are to lead in a sacrificial way, leading the way with correct biblical standards. Correct biblical standards should never be based on our own self feelings. They start with submitting to Christ, and then a thought, action, habit, and character happens from it. It proceeds from it because of the identity that we have in Christ and because of the work of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Husbands, present your wives in splendor and without blemish. Present her unstained. Do not present her beaten or bruised through self-seeking, self-condemning, self-promoting, self-gratifying, and forceful ways. We must not do that as husbands. Colossians 3:19, which we read last week, it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Colossians 3:18, it talks about the wife. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. There it is again, as fitting to the Lord. It's pointing out God. But husbands, it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. So wives, learn to be gracious with your husbands as they lead. Satan's plan and purpose would be to destroy that. Don't let him. Let him present you in splendor. Hold fast. Last one here. Hold fast. For this reason, we must hold fast. This is verse 31. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Work hard to be united in mind and heart and spirit with your wife. Walk in wisdom with an understanding spirit, husbands. The relationship between a father and mother is nothing in comparison to the magnitude that happens when a husband and wife become one flesh. Philippians, which was brought up in Sunday school this morning with Charlie, it says in Philippians 2, 3 to 4, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Hold your wife in high regard, husbands. In order to count your wife to be more than yourself, you need to live in an understanding way. If we believe and understand a little of the magnitude of a husband and wife relationship, Based on the biblical terms, I believe we see a glimpse into a little piece of the profound mystery of Christ and the church, which was verse 32, which I brought up earlier. The mystery is profound. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Verse 31. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And I say that, and then think about Genesis 2 and how the man was created, and from the man come the woman. And then when you think about Christ and his dying on the cross, he gave up his full life for his church, his spouse, so that they could have glory with the Father for eternity. And a husband is to present his wife in glory. And to do so, they must understand the glory that they first have. And for a wife to submit, they must understand the glory that has been given to them. So hold fast to your wife, husbands. Hold her. All day, all night. No, just you can let go at times. Hold your wife. Hold on to your wife. Care for her. Look after her. And then remember Matthew Henry, not Matthew from the scriptures, but Matthew Henry, who said, she was not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to protect her, and near his heart to be beloved. That's what Christ does for us. He holds us close. He brings us in to keep us and care for us and love us. We need to be sanctified by the Word of God by spending due diligent time studying the Scriptures for ourselves in order to understand how to hold fast to our Savior. Because we need to hold fast to our Savior as men and as women. We need to hold fast to our Savior. So in order to do so, we need to spend time in His Word, to be covered with His Word, to be bathed with His Word. I want to read one last verse and then we can sing together again. Benediction. Hebrews, there we go. Hebrews chapter 10, 35 says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Hold on to the Lord. Keep him close, because he is keeping you close. He has not forsaken you or looked away from you. Husbands, lead your homes by being gracious in the way you speak to your wife. Wives, submit to your husbands in a way that glorifies Christ, because your husband is laying an example for you. That is a biblical term for what it is in God's eyes as good for a relationship, a little piece of it. And I'll leave you with that.